Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
This morning, we are going to present a message, and I've titled it, I Dare You. I dare you to be a Daniel. And I want to begin by reading a scripture. It's found in Revelation, to get right to the point, Revelation chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is to the church of Ephesus. And we learn from all of this. You have persevered, and you have endured hardship. That's you and I. For my name's sake, Jesus, and you have not grown weary. You've kept going. But this one thing I have against you, you have forsaken the love you had in the beginning, at first. How indicting is that statement? That you've done all this, you've persevered, you've worked hard, you've done things in my name, you haven't grown weary, you've kept going, but you have forsaken your first love. We are a nation in crisis simply because we are a nation without Christ. The spirit of Antichrist has infiltrated our nation, our homes, and also our churches. And we've tolerated sins, grievous sins, disobedience to God, rebellion against God, sins of apathy, sins of witchcraft, the shedding of innocent blood, and we are not without guilt. The things that my dad and our fathers and grandfathers and mothers and grandfathers would never have tolerated, we have tolerated. And it doesn't matter how passionate you are about some political candidate, that person will never save you or your nation. And no one can save us from the consequence of our disobedience and rebellion to God. Do you know, and I'm speaking to you from my heart today, do you know that today churches are closing at an alarming rate? People who once made worship in God's house an absolute priority, stores were closed on Sundays, they're no longer obedient to God or faithful. That is just how it is in the facts. And the truth of the matter is, most people who are unfaithful, they don't know they're unfaithful because they've lost their first love. It happens slowly. And God doesn't obligate himself to hear or answer the prayers of those who are unfaithful or rebellious against God. It takes more than that. The Bible, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And he did not say one time that his commands were optional, that they were for you to consider. And I know this may sound to you like doom and gloom, and it's not, because it's actually encouraging. I know this part of it can be discouraging. Are you talking to me that I've lost my first love? Maybe. Maybe I'm talking to me. Maybe I'm talking to you or a lot of you. But I want to tell you that I can't fight full-time devils with a part-time faith. It doesn't happen that way. I cannot fight a full-time devil with a part-time faith that I fight him on what, Sunday morning? And then the rest of the week he's after me, but I've lost my first love. But while this can be disheartening and discouraging, I'm going to give this to Pastor Ken. This is just the opening. I believe that one person has the ability to turn the course of a nation. One person who serves God and who will be obedient. And I know that sounds radical. I know that sounds crazy. And Pastor Ken and I are going to get into this, but we are going to actually present to you one man who turned the course of a nation and made a kingdom difference. And he was no weak, wimpy Christian, part-time Christian. This was Daniel. He served God from the time of his youth, and we see him at 90 years old, thrown in a den of hungry and aggressive lions who were hungry. And he served God faithfully. And here's what I believe about Daniel, and you've heard me, if you've attended my teachings, you've heard me say this when I taught Daniel before. I believe that because Daniel opened his mouth to pray and opened his window to pray, God close the mouth of the lions. Had he not opened his mouth to pray and opened his window and was not ashamed of God, I do not believe his story would have turned out like it turned out. I think that the hungry lions might have devoured him, and that's a lesson for us. Pastor Ken, what's your thoughts?
Daniel's amazing. What an amazing story. I always imagine him with his head against the lion, just kind of using the lion as a pillow. I mean, obviously supernatural peace came on that, him and the lion. So the whole message of Daniel, his life and where he lived and the time he lived and how he lived his life and how he lived with integrity, what an incredible role model for all of us. To have a young person who began as a young person serving God and then continued to serve God all of their life and continued to trust God all of their life. We live in tough times. Daniel lived in tough times. So did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But when you trust God with all your heart, those tough times result in amazing miracles. Amazing miracles. But you have to sort of position yourself. But here's the thing. The enemy of faith is what? Fear. And how many of you feel like you're just holding your head above water? Sometimes you say, okay, I've got my to-do list is 100 things long. But if I could do these things and meet with these people and accomplish these tasks, then maybe I could just live another week and breathe another week and just keep my head above water. So in those cases, you feel like you're kind of in control. I'm above water. I'm in control. But you might say, but boy, if I got four or five more things that hit, the water might be coming into the boat faster than I can get the water out of the boat. And then there's those times in life where you feel completely out of control, where it's like, this is funny. I can't even make a to-do list to address this anymore. I remember driving my car a few years ago. I was near Ford City, and it was real icy. And I hit the brakes, and my car started spinning. And I realized as I was spinning that whatever happens, I have zero control at this point. No matter which way I turn the wheel or hit the gas or hit the brake, there is no control in that car. That this was all physics at this point and the angels. But I was out of control. I had no control over the situation. And if you feel that way, and the answer is that you're going to have to trust God with all your heart. And sometimes it feels like you are hanging by your fingernails off of a ledge, and you're thinking, I just don't know if I can hang on much longer. And God says, let go and let me catch you. That letting go of releasing and trusting God, saying, I'm out of control, you're going to have to catch me if I'm going to make it. And two more things, and then I'll get to Daniel. Just things I was thinking of this morning. You've heard me say before that with airplanes, that one of the big dangers is condensation. It's a metal tank. And you know how metal can get water condensation? Well, you don't want water in your airplane tank. Studies have shown it's not an effective fuel. So water is horrible. It's so watered down that your plane doesn't work. And in your life, you can feel so that the word's been watered down in your life. The wine of the Holy Spirit has been watered down by the world. But they teach us a very effective trick to completely stop that problem. You know what it is? Always fill the gas tank to the top. If it's filled with gas, there's no room for water. There's so much gas, so the power, the Holy Spirit. So one more illustration. The way a submarine works is you have these giant air tanks. They're empty air, so they float. And the way you cause it to sink is you let water into the air tanks so it gets more and more filled with water. As it's more and more filled with water, it sinks faster and faster. And if you completely fill the tanks with water, you find yourself on the bottom of the ocean. We're in trouble. We're on the bottom. How do we get up? There's a mighty rushing wind. To go up, you take air and you force it into those tanks, forcing the water out, making the submarine less heavy because the water's forced out, and also the air is more buoyant so that the submarine can rise again. You and I, when we're out of control, first of all, we have to completely let go and say God and trust God, a supernatural thing. But the second thing, in order to make it, you have got to let the Holy Spirit fill you as he fills you. Because when you talk about holiness, Pam, how do I get the sin out? You don't. Blow so much air into that tank that it blows everything else out. There's nothing else in there. When you blow all air into that tank, there's no more water. It's just Holy Spirit. There's no more room for anything that's not holy. There's no more room for doubt and unbelief. How do I know if I'm being led by the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit always leads you in faith, never in fear. All right, that's just my, every Sunday I ask God for a word, and I hope that that ministers to, even if it's just one person, it's like, I needed that. So let's talk about one of the most amazing men in the Bible. Did he make our short list? We had a short list in the Bible of men and women that you really could find no fault in. Daniel was one of the very few people. I mean, everybody, like Abraham's got faults, and David, and Paul, just all of them. But there's just one or two people that make the very short list. So Daniel was one of them. And I believe what Pam said is correct. He cannot get delivered from the lion's den or anything else if he doesn't have a foundation of trusting God and praying to God. And let me just say this about prayer. There's two kinds of prayer. There's the religious kind where it sounds like you're reading off a teleprompter. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly exalted, whatever. It's just words, but it's not coming from your heart. It's just what you're writing, composing what you would think a good prayer would be. And God's like, that's a nice poem. Nice. Very good. But there's another kind of prayer that is, it's crying out to God. It's saying, God, we need to talk. It's me. It's Bud. I need to talk to you. You need to talk to me. It's a cry of the heart. And let me tell you, those are the prayers that gets God's attention when it's a real prayer and not some poem. So this idea that we need the Holy Spirit to infuse us and to fill and to completely be filled in our life is something that this church, not just every church, needs. It's something I need. It's something you need. It was the plan that Jesus said, I'll go away, but the Holy Spirit will come. I want to say that holiness is not an old school old school or new. It's just the way it is, holiness. Do you realize that to be under authority of God and his word means you're under authority not just for the things you like? Oh, thank you for the blessings, God. God, lead me. God, bless me. There's things in the Bible I don't understand, I don't even agree with, and you know what? It doesn't matter. Being under authority and holiness, church, I don't care if you want to do it, if you agree with it or not, it's honoring God to be holy. And our reaction to sin should be the exact same reaction that we have to old, spoiled, smelly chicken. Revulsion. You smell something that's oh, no! And that should be our, and Daniel was that. Think of Daniel's situation, Pam, that he didn't live at Rhema Bible Training Center. He didn't live in the middle of worship. He lived in captivity and filled with people and places in a society that did not honor God. Right. Did not honor God. And I'm going to give this back to Pam, but I appreciate people that were like, yeah, I was in a gang and I was a murderer. Yeah, that's a great testimony. But do you know what also is a good testimony? If you say I got saved and I've been living for God, for like Daniel, that he just lived for God.
From the time he was 15 years old, he lived for God. He had a relationship with God. You can kiss religion goodbye. We don't need religion. We don't need stand up, sit down, say this, sprinkle me some holy water on you and on your feet. You know, no, we don't need that. We need relationship. Forget about religion. Religion kills and destroys. Relationship is what heals. But Daniel did. God is a jealous God, and he lived with integrity from the time that he was 15 years old. And you know, I agree with Pastor Ken. The short list, by the way, in case you're interested in the short list of people who lived consistently from the time of their youth throughout the Bible, and the Bible has no mention of any fall into sin, are Joseph and Mary, who carried Christ, and Samuel and Daniel. It's four people. It's four people. There are others who lived for Christ and did great things, but they had great, great downfalls, but not these. And that just shows us their examples that it doesn't have to be that way. Your story doesn't have to be one. I just fell into horrible sin, and God pulled me out. It can be. I served God from the time I was 15 until the time I was 90, and I thank God for it. And I want to say something about serving God. I do not agree that we should wait until the king heats up the fiery furnace to start to pray, okay? I don't think it works that way. Maybe you're going to try that on for size, but I'm not. I'm not going to wait until the fiery furnace. I am not going to wait until they have me in handcuffs, taking me to the lion's den before I ask God to help me and save me and spare me. I run the risk of God going, and who are you again? I might lose an arm or two to a hungry lion if I do such. We can't play with the things of God. And I have always said this, and I will say this again, that it's one thing to be in Babylon. It's another thing for Babylon to be in me. And it's one thing for us to be affected by sin. Somebody might be living in sin, and it affects my life. But it's another to be infected by sin, allowing sin in my life. We are in this world on assignment, but we should not let this world distract us or seduce us, or we should not let the world get inside of us. We're studying on Monday night Lot, and by the way, that's exactly what happened. And I love when we read stories of people who are faithful to God. And here's the thing. I think that we should stop saying that our troubles are the devil attacking us. The reality of the situation is that many times these are self-inflicted wounds that we have in our lives, because so many, you hear it on the news, that was a self-inflicted wound. Yes, we've built our own prisons. We've built our own captivity. I am watching three people that I know of systematically destroy their lives, and I can't reach any one of the three. I've said everything I know how to say. I've done everything I know how to do and preach the cross. And I have three people presently that I'm watching them destroy. The devil is not attacking any one of the three. He's not. All three are their own worst enemy. I have been there, by the way. I'm not throwing any stones at anyone. I've been there. I have done things that affected my life and that I was responsible for. But I'm so thankful that even in captivity, and even if we do get attacked, even if the world is against us, if God is for us, who can be against us? And the Bible does warn us about the adversary and says that he's your adversary. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober. I'm a big one for being sober because I can't function even with Tylenol, like I said, or with Benadryl. So I'm big for being sober and being watchful. I'm big on being watchful. You know, don't be put your head in the sand and pretend that nothing bad's ever going to happen. Be watchful, okay? Because your adversary. I'm not interested in Ken's adversary that's coming to get him. I'm interested in, the Bible says, I have an adversary that I need to be watchful about. And he is coming as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whomever he may devour. Now, We need to be prayed up, because I'm going to say something to you that maybe will shock you. The lions are still out there. The lions in the lion's den are still out there, okay, in the devil's den, okay? And it says that the devil comes as a roaring lion. But I want to encourage you that the devil as a roaring lion is no match for Jesus, who is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So don't worry about the devil as a roaring lion. He's all smokescreen. He's no match for my lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. But I do not believe for one second, and I'm going to say this to every one of us. I want you to take this home in your heart. I do not believe that you can afford to compromise. I do not believe that you can be a part-time Christian, because this is what the Bible says. He will spew you out. He will vomit you out of his mouth. You cannot be on the fence. He will spew you out of his mouth. And so I do not believe that. I think you have to understand that I am bought with a high price. I cannot defile myself. I cannot say I love God and live like the spawn of Satan all week long. I cannot do that, because it doesn't work that way, and then come to church on Sunday and think that I'm covered, that all is well, because it is not, because I am not honoring God. We are bought with the highest price, and I want to say this. You are not a citizen of this world. You are not a citizen of America. You are a citizen of heaven. You are of the kingdom of heaven. And you know what? We need to start acting like that. We need to be those peculiar people that I used to think that my dad was just, you know, very peculiar, very peculiar. I mean, laying on his face and praying, you know, in the morning, you know, just laying on the floor upstairs. And I used to think, you know, he'd come to church and just dance around up here. You know, he's growing older, and here he is, like, the main dancer. And, you know, like, what is this all about, for goodness sakes alive? You know, I did not even want to lift my hand in church. Like, you know, that is just a little bit radical. We do not have to lift our hands. Why can't we not just stand here like a good Catholic, for goodness sakes? Instead, we're waving things. Let's all wave. Give God a wave offering. I'm like, what? We're giving God a what? God's interested in a wave offering? But you know what? Radical gets radical results. If you are radically sold out for God, and you pray like Daniel morning, noon, and night, and you fly those windows open, and you don't care who hears your prayer in the restaurant, I can tell you, Janice Sims, for goodness sake, she don't care who hears that prayer in the restaurant. She does not care. And you know what? But God hears that prayer. God knows when we walk out of that restaurant, Janice, we were thankful. We were thankful. And all the waitresses know we were thankful too. And there is, let me tell you something, there is nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all, in Jesus' name.
Because we are a peculiar people, correct? So we should act like a peculiar people. We should be set apart. In the Old Testament, the horses were set apart. If the horses are set apart, how much more should we be set apart for God's service? And I love the example that everything in the church is set apart for worship. Those drums, they're not playing Led Zeppelin, they're playing Jesus. So the piano, it's playing for Jesus. And so everything in this church is dedicated to the Lord, because it's part of the temple. But that's not really the point. The point is, know you not that you are the temple of God. So if that's true of this church, then every part of you, whatever is in you, just like whatever is in this church, is set apart for God. Everything in you is set apart for God. And Pam is so right, and we know it. But it would be easy to blame, I'm under such satanic, it's Satan, and that's not true. It's, what do you mean? What, can't you say no to some things, Pastor Ken? Can't you just say no to the devil? Can't you resist the devil? That's it. You know, you say the devil's all in my life. Well, stop it.
Exactly.
Yeah, say, well, it ends. That's why I love that his mercies are new every morning.
Yeah.
Because I fail so many times, but I get a do-over the next day. God, I'm going to live for you today. I want to be the person that God made me to be. You can be a caterpillar. By the way, it's not good to be a caterpillar. You're fat and you're being dragged down and you're just this worm that is ugly. Don't be a caterpillar. But caterpillars cocoon themselves and they are transformed into almost a whole new creature called a butterfly. But so you can be a caterpillar, which to me represents our old life, right? Or we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We can be 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have become new. But you cannot be a butterpillar. Because a butterpillar can't fly. If you had half caterpillar and half butter, it can't fly. We can't be half whole. So the question is, am I a Christian pretending to be a sinner, or am I a sinner pretending to be a Christian? I'm either a caterpillar or a butterfly. I need to look in the Word of God and look in the mirror. And at least I need to know what I am. Otherwise, I might fly off this cliff and discover I'm still a caterpillar and I don't fly so well. Or may I be expecting to fly. Someday I'm going to fly. But if I... So that's when we're talking about holiness. Choose who you're going to be. You have to know who you are. Forget about caterpillars and butterflies. You have to know that you belong to Jesus Christ. That's your identity. There's nothing worse than a stolen identity, or even worse, when you don't remember or you don't even know who you are. So you are called by God. You are chosen by God. And the fact that they were in captivity all those years, it didn't stop. Daniel didn't conform to this world. He remained transformed. Now, here's the thing about being in captivity. We live in a free country, and you're not in prison, but that doesn't mean that you're not a captive. Right. You don't have to be in jail to be a captive in your own mind. And you know what can captivate you? One word, worry. It can dominate your thoughts. So I want to ask you to be honest with yourself today. What's the biggest worry that you have? If you were honest with yourself and you looked in a mirror, what would you say to yourself? What are you worried about? Are you worried about being alone when you're old? Or are you just worried about being old? Are you worrying about going to hell or heaven? Whatever your worry is, is God able? Could you give that to God and trust God with that worry? So you've thought of it, right? You know that you have this thing that has slightly captured your time. Maybe it's captured it more than slightly. Maybe it's an obsession. The more you worry about it, the more that you need to lay it at the altar and give it to God today. To give that to God. And the only way to do that, and I'll show you my illustration here. I'll give this to Pam. If this is my worry, and it goes with me everywhere I go, and it's annoying because I got to carry it with me everywhere, because it's with me everywhere. And by the way, this one's pretty light. I could have picked up 5 or 6 things, right? But you take this thing, which is... You know it shouldn't be there. You know you've got to trust God. And you come to the altar and you say, Jesus, and you've probably done this, Jesus, I can't carry that anymore. I'm going to have to trust you with this thing. Thank you, Jesus. I'm leaving this at the altar. Praise God. Thank God. If you left it at the altar and you see it in your hands again, I left that at the altar. And if tomorrow you're carrying it, go, wait a minute. Tony read the scripture today. Thank you, Tony. All those things you worry about, what did Jesus say? Jesus said it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Just trust him that all these things will be added. I believe that whatever it is that you're worried about, that you can give to God this morning. You can give to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and trust them and quit carrying it. Stop the worry. I know it's hard to do. I know that's easier said than done, but that's where we just trust God.
What helps worry is actually worship. Did you know that that's what helps worry and that gets rid of worry is worship? I'm going to share with you something that's just on my heart about worshiping that really is just a revelation. There were 3 angels primary angels in heaven that were created. I don't know if you know this. The first was Michael, who was a warrior angel, and the second was Gabriel, who was a messenger angel, and the third was Lucifer, who was a worshiping angel, and he led the music and the worship in heaven. And something very interesting about that is when Satan, the Bible says Satan fell like lightning, he was actually cast out of heaven. He never left heaven. Him and a third of the angels were cast out of heaven. And he was the lead worship leader in heaven. That's what he was created to do. And God never replaced him in the position. But guess who replaced him? You and I. He hates worship. Because that's the job he got fired from, and you got the job. It's an honor to be a worship leader. It's an honor to lift your hands and be a worshiper, because you are taking Satan's position. You took his job. He got fired, and you took his job from him. He was not replaced. I've done my homework on this. You replaced him. If you're willing to worship, that is the greatest damage you can do to the kingdom of hell, is to continue to worship. And that's what Daniel was doing when he was praying. When he was praying, he was worshiping God and giving God honor. And here's something Daniel did to change the course of the nation. And I want you to see this. You have got to see this. The change in your life and mine begins with worship, and it begins with repentance. We don't want to hear the repentance word. Well, what did I got to repent about? What did I do? I didn't do anything so bad. No, it means repentance, bad attitudes, things that I thought that were wrong, wrong thoughts, wrong decisions. And here's the thing. Daniel, he began his prayer with repentance. And here's what he said in his prayer. And I read the prayer. I actually studied his prayer extensively yesterday. And he said this. He said, "You gave us the law, and we just didn't obey the law." We have the Bible, people, that says, you know, do this and do that and do that, and we just don't obey it. And he said, "You gave us the law." He never said, "You did not know the law," did he? Oh, no, 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 no. He gave the law, and we know the law very well. When I go through the stop sign, oh, no, 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 I know the law. I just went through the stop sign. And so I got in trouble. Who did it? The devil? Oh, I was under attack. Again, I've been under attack all day. I got a ticket. No, I knew the law, and I did not obey the law. And that's where it was. And Daniel repented, and Cyrus let the people go home. And here's my question when I start thinking about our nation, and this is an election year, and we don't talk about that at all, except to say vote your conscience. But let me tell you something. God told the people to repent, and they didn't, and so that's why they were taken into captivity. If you don't repent, even today, you will be captive in your own life. And I wonder what it takes for our nation to get serious about God. How many 9/11s? How many school shootings? How many pandemics is it going to take? I'm asking for a friend, as they say. How many is it going to take for us to get serious about God? And the Bible says it's written in the law of Moses that all this evil come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord. Fancy words, for we did not pray before the Lord, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand the truth. Oh, wow, wow, wow. But Daniel says, "But Lord, forgive us and defer not for your own sake." Forgive us for your own sake, God, because we are still your people. Even when I was disobedient, I was still my father's daughter. Maybe he didn't think so hot of me, but I was still his daughter, just a disobedient one. It doesn't change your position in God's kingdom at all. You're just disobedient. You're just the disobedient kid. We have disobedient believers, and we have obedient believers. Which category you're in? Look in the mirror and ask yourself the question, and don't lie to yourself. Am I faithful? Do I attend services? Do I give tithes? Do I love my neighbor as myself? Do I pray? Do I read God's word? Hey, I'm not your judge, but you should be able to examine your heart. Ask God to examine your heart. You know, I was thinking about what the prayers of one person do, what the prayers of Daniel did, but I was thinking about another man too. I love thinking about Stephen, who was the very first martyr of the faith. As he was being stoned, as he was being killed as our first martyr, he prayed an interesting prayer. He did not pray, "Don't let it hurt me, God. Take this away from me. Kill him, God. Get him, God. Go get him." He prayed for God to forgive those who were murdering him. Now watch this. There was a young man that day standing there who was consenting, who means he was an official witness, by the way. It doesn't mean he just agreed with it. It means Saul was serving as an official witness for the state. That's what he was doing. And so he had the honor of holding his coat. And so here's Stephen as he's going out into heaven praying, "I want you to forgive this young man." Watch this. Let me tell you, years later, God goes, "Okay, he prayed for him. I'm going to answer that prayer, and I'm going to do everything I can. And if that means send a bright light, if that means cause him to be blind for a sake, and someone else lead him around, whatever it takes." And Saul came to know Jesus Christ. We know him as Paul, and his name wasn't changed, by the way, from Saul to Paul. One was a Greek name, one was a Hebrew name. That's just the way it was. It says in Acts 7:60, "Then he fell on his knees," this is Stephen, "as he was dying, and he cried out, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them,' and he fell asleep." How many people are willing to, the Bible says it, pray for your enemies. This is part of the commandments of God, and God forgave him. There are so many things that one person can do. This is just one man who prayed for those that were. What if we were to do the same things, make a difference like Daniel, pray that our nation, pray on behalf of our nation. If they won't repent, let's pray. As I'm part of this nation and I'm praying, God, forgive us. Forgive us. We knew your law. We didn't live according to your law. But I, as the Daniel representative in this day, I am praying, God. I am asking you, help us. Help us. If our nation would pray, we wouldn't have to have an election like we're going to have. That's all. We would know who the right people are. God, help us. Help us, God, to be who we're called to be, a Daniel. I dare you to stand up and do things differently.
Here's the thing. If God's going to use any of us, we've got to be able to preach the gospel in the Bible. Not that we can't change the gospel, or it can't be a different gospel. It can't be, "I am of Paul," or "I am of Apollos." You know, Paul was for Jesus. That was it. And we are witnesses, whether you want to be or not, you're a witness. You can be a good witness or you can be a bad witness. I remember one of my jury trials that I had. I had a witness. She was so terrible. Every time I tried to practice with her, she just did. So my strategy was to keep her off the stand. That was the only way to win the case, is to not let her witness. And some people should not be witnessing. You know, Jesus doesn't save at 90 miles an hour when you're, you know, honking your horn and driving like a maniac and it says Jesus saves. It's just a bad witness, right? That's just one example, right? So in our life, if the way we live our life is a bad witness, sometimes we're doing more harm to the body of Christ. You know, for example, seeing people screaming on the abortion issue, "You're murderers, you're all going to hell," that's not winning people to the Lord by telling people they're going to hell. That very much doesn't win. You have to show love. You have to show love. So remember that. This week, I spoke to two friends of mine. One just loves everything Trump and Republican, and Trump could never do wrong, and he loves Jesus. My other friend, Trump can do no right, and loves Biden and loves the Democratic Party. And do you know what? You and I have to be able to minister to both of those friends. If you can't minister to one or the other, or if you judge one or not, you've got to realize that this is about the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is not in heaven. He doesn't care about this stuff. It's Jesus that we follow, not a man, not a man, not a woman, not a party. And like Pam said, Paul said, if you want to talk about citizenship, I could claim that. I'm a citizen of Rome. But he said, but I am a citizen of heaven. He knew. And when he went to where all the false gods were, and everyone was arguing which god was the right one, Paul, who was so smart, This is wisdom. They had a God called the unknown God. He goes, hey, let's talk about this God, the unknown God, because I want to tell you about him. So he broke, in other words, what I'm saying is, he broke through barriers, just like Jesus would go to people that, she's a sinner, or doesn't Jesus, just breaking down barriers. We see that in the Bible. Is the Holy Spirit given to everybody, or just the Jew? So we see God breaking down barriers everywhere. So here's the thing. God used Daniel so mightily that I think everyone here would have to agree, I wish that God would use me that mightily. God wanted to use Daniel. Now here's something you need to believe. God wants to use you. He wanted to use Daniel when Daniel was young. He wanted to use Daniel when Daniel was old. It didn't matter Daniel's age or Abram's age or Moses' age. God wanted to use those men and women of the Bible. So God wants to use you. But Daniel had wisdom. And wisdom only comes, wisdom doesn't come about through intelligence. It comes about through prayer and listening to God. Wisdom can only come from God. So what is it that you and I need? Instead of calling it wisdom, let's call it discernment. We need discernment to know right from wrong, to know God from not God, and discernment to hear what God is saying. If you're going to be led of the Holy Spirit, it's a still, small voice. And it's gentle, and it's you really have to listen to that. So the last thing I'll tell you is this. I think that we would all say, I wish that God would speak to me like he spoke to Daniel. To which God would reply, I wish that they would listen to me like Daniel did. Because I believe the point is God is speaking. We may not be hearing to be led of God, because what are we doing instead? We're worrying. We're fighting all that water, that watered down thing. And what we need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be quiet and listen for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Love all you. We're praying for this whole church, praying for your family. And you know what? The fact that our church is still open and still here means that we are available for a move of God.
You know, it's interesting that we do ask, you know, why doesn't God speak to us? But sometimes we don't speak to God and we don't listen to God. I can say all day long, I wish Pastor Ken would call me. But do I pick up the phone and do I call on God? God's calling me, but do I ever call God? You know, God is looking for true worshipers and a living sacrifice. Something interesting that I was thinking about. In the Old Testament, God was willing to accept a dead sacrifice. And this is powerful, by the way, what you're about to hear. He was willing to accept a dead sacrifice. But in the New Testament, we see Jesus became the living sacrifice. And so I guess I would say to you, many people will come and they will say, you know, are you willing to die for God? If they had a gun to your head, would you die for God? God is not looking for dead sacrifices anymore. He's looking for an alive sacrifice. He's looking for someone who will come alive in Jesus, and that we will live for him with zeal and with excitement. You know, we need to get excited about the things of God and make a difference. And to make a difference in the kingdom of God, love is an action. You know, you can say you love God all day, but if you put no action behind it, if you don't read the word, if you don't pray, if you don't obey his commands, and if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, you know, I can say I love somebody who's hungry, but they don't need me to love them like to say I love them. They need me when they are hungry. They need me to feed them. They need me to buy the groceries for them. You know, if we say that we love God, that's just we say we love God. It's an action. It's going to take some effort on our part. It's not something we can just sit in a pew and pretend we love God or say we love God. That's not how it works. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to go before the Lord in prayer and take a time of worship. You know, God can help us to keep his commands. He can help us to do what we need to do. Father, we just thank you in the name of Jesus that you are our help and you are our hope. You are the hope of this nation, Father God. We are a nation in crisis because we are a people in crisis, Father God. Our homes are in crisis, Father God. Our churches are closing. They are in crisis, Father. But we believe in you and we believe in the hope of the cross, Jesus. And so we ask you that you would help us, Father. Father God, to be obedient to you, to do what you say to do, and to not do what you tell us not to do, Father God, to love like you love, Father God. Lord, to do the things that you've called us to do. Lord, give us the strength, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Give us the strength, Father God, to lay down the things we need to lay down that are displeasing to you, Father God, and to pick up our cross and to follow you, Lord God. Father God, I'm just reminded of the old song that I've been listening to. If it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? Father God, we wouldn't even be here today, that's for sure, if the Lord had not been on our side. Father God, we would likely be in a grave somewhere if the Lord had not been on our side, Father God. We would likely be in hell, Father, if the Lord had not been on our side, Father God, but you are on our side. Father God, you're before us. You're on our right hand and our left hand, and you're behind us, Father God. You're our rear guard. And Father God, we want to be on your side now. Father God, we confess, Father God, our unfaithfulness to you. We repent, Father God, of not doing what you told us to do. And we thank you that you've been on our side anyway because your mercies and your grace, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Let us be a Daniel, I dare you.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.